man show, friend of the show. We had a great day so far. We're going to close out with Russ Turner, UC Irvine, and Eaters out of the Big West out there. Coach, how things out there in sunny Irvine, California, man?
Oh, things are good out here, man. We're looking forward to the start of conference play.
Yes, indeed, Coach. Hey, man, you're in the middle of year 10 leading the Anteaters, man. So talk to me, man. What's been the key to your longevity at UC Irvine, knowing the business way you and I both know, how turnover is so high every year? What's been the key to your longevity being there for so long?
Well, I think I've been really fortunate, number one, and I'm appreciative for that because I've had great guys working for me, and I think overall I've had really high-character players who've bought in and fought hard, and you know, we've built something now that a lot of people are really proud of, and so I feel good about that. And I'm in a good spot that fits me. Like, this university fits me well, and so for that I'm very grateful.
And I was telling my listeners off the air here, Coach, before you came on about guys like yourself. You have to have the AD in line with you and your president and the coach all as one, line together and synced up. I feel like you have that at Irvine. Like you say, it fits you well. They understand you, and they're going to coach the guys hard. You're going to be there for them. You'll get a good education. You're going to find quality guys to become Anteaters for life.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, last year was our best year on the floor, but I think it was also our best year for that alignment, like you mentioned, between me and the university chancellor and the athletic director here. I'm working with really high-quality people, and I think they see that we've done a good job attracting kids to Irvine that this university can be proud of. And so I feel really good about that, and I think that that's something we should be able to continue.
And last year you had 31 wins. I think you had the most wins in California of any school in the state, right? Is that correct, Coach?
Yeah, I think we had the most wins. And I also think we were the best team in California last year. You know, we promoted that a little bit because it feels out here like that seems nearly impossible for Irvine to have done that. But I don't think it's impossible anymore. You know, we're not the best team in California now, but we're a good team, and I think we're a threat to all the teams in California when we face them on a basketball court, and that's a sign of a lot of growth for us.
Exactly, and then coming off that great year last year, Coach, where did you prioritize with your team and the staff? Because come off 31 wins, there's still room to improve and get better. So where did you guys kind of hammer home in spring and summer here and early fall before this thing really kicked off real good in November?
Well, the main message has been that we got to start over, and that, you know, we can't assume that anything we did last year helps us at all this year. We can't assume that, you know. So I feel like we've been battling complacency, and just, you know, all that comes with winning. I think handling success is very hard. That's why it's so rare for teams to repeat as champions. Because of how hard it is to become champions and how hard it is to be champions. So what I'm really focused on now is trying to get our guys to embrace doing the things that are hard because of how rewarding they could be. And many of our guys have experienced that, so I think I got good buy-in.
Yes, indeed, because that's the main thing, Coach. You can't stick on last year because that was last year's team. It's a new year, a new day. And that's a lot of time young men don't understand that. Even with us being in the NBA, you coach the Warriors for a while, me covering the Hawks every day. You know, guys sometimes lose sight that, hey, this is not going to be the same team next year or even tomorrow because it could be a trade or injury. It could change the whole dynamic of the whole team. So you have to embrace the day, win the day, and realize that, hey, everything's a new experience, but also embrace it while you can, because you can all go away with an injury or whatever, a drop of a hat.
Yeah, I think young guys tend to think that when you have success, that you're more likely to have more of it. But the reality is, when you're competing at something like we are, success makes it harder because the people you're competing with want that much worse because of your success to beat you. So, you know, embracing the fact that we've got a target on us, that we've, you know, made it harder for ourselves to have the success that we've enjoyed. It takes some maturity to get to that point. And I feel like the difficult non-conference schedule that we played and some of the results we've had this year have driven that message home to this year's team. And I'm hoping that we can benefit from that as we move into conference play.
You kind of read my mind, Coach. I want to ask you, what did you feel like your team improved on the most playing that tough schedule that you guys play, seeing those different styles, different the way teams approach you guys? So what do you feel like you improved on the most as you jump into this Big West play here?
Well, you know, I think we're improved because I think we've had some weaknesses exposed. And so that's the reason you play such a hard schedule and you play so many games. We've had 16 games so far. We've had different kinds of troubles at different stages of this difficult schedule. And I think that I've got smart guys who will learn from that. And I think as coaches, if we do a good job of focusing on the right things that have made it difficult for us on given nights, that by the time we get to the end of the season when the chips are down in a Big West tournament, we'll know what we have to do to be good. And I think we're on that path. I think we're moving in the right direction, but also still think we got a long way to go.
The good thing about it, Coach, in the conference play, a lot of guys, like you said, you have time to prepare for your opponent and also self-scout while preparing and getting guys developing, wanting to peak, of course, in that Big West tournament in Anaheim there, because that's what really counts. It's peaking right there, because if in the conference of the Big West, you got to make sure you win that conference to get the automatic bid, because if you don't, they don't let them look the other way to you. So I think you're right about that. With conference play, with the regiment you guys have, when you got time to prepare and self-scout and develop at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we always say that there's three components to our season: the non-conference, the conference, and then the postseason tournaments. You know, in our non-conference, we're playing a lot of games against teams that are better than we are. In our conference, I don't feel like we do that. I feel like everybody's about the same. And so those are different types of games that require different things. You know, we're preparing all year with the idea that for us to reach the goal that's most important to us, we've got to win three games in 3 days. So that's all what we're working on, is trying to figure out the best ways to do that. We're trying to figure out roles for a lot of different guys so that we can play multiple players and be fresh, hopefully, on that third day. We're getting better at that. I think our guys are buying into that. But every year's team presents a different puzzle, and that's what we have now. I've got an interesting group of veterans, you know, who know they can do it, and talented young guys who still have to prove what they can do, and we're in the process of figuring all that out.
And, Coach, also what I see with you guys all good over your time is defending the home court, because you want to win your home games for sure in conference play. When you go on that road, it may be a crapshoot, so you may definitely want to defend the home court. I feel like you do a great job every year of emphasizing that we got to win our home games as well.
Yeah, I mean, we do play well at home. Last year we had more road wins than any team in the country. And so we've had a road toughness about our team that is something we've hung our hat on. But right now we've only got two road wins, and those were both in the first couple weeks of the season. They were quality road wins at San Diego and at Boise State, but this team hasn't shown the same toughness on the road that we've come to expect, I don't think, and we're going to be challenged that way in the conference, as you said.
And, Coach, you got Hawaii coming over to see you guys here on the 11th. You got time to prepare for them, which is good as well. So what do you send for those guys on the film so you guys prepare to play those guys here on the 11th?
Yeah, they're good. I think they've been somewhat of a surprise to some people in the quality of their play. They're one of the top-ranked teams in all the metrics, you know, in our conference, like we are. And they built their schedule, their non-conference schedule, by playing mostly home games. We've done the opposite. We've been on the road. And in this opener in our conference, they're coming on the road to us. It'll be an important game for us. Our students will be back. I'm hoping we can generate a great crowd, and I'm excited to see our team compete and perform.
Hey, look at your roster, Coach. You got a lot of international guys on your roster, international background. So I know Irvine attracts people from all over. So kind of speak to how recruiting international guys with those backgrounds has really been important in your time and tenure at Irvine, what those guys mean to the team so this year.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you asked that. I mean, one of the things that I pride myself on in our recruiting is promoting the diversity and the environment in this university. UC Irvine, you know, we have over 25,000 students. We've got people from all over the place. So it's real easy when I go on the road recruiting, especially with international kids, to talk about the number of different types of people here on this campus who fit in and thrive. And so we've used, I think, the university's identity to our advantage with the basketball team, and we have recruited all over the world. This year we have two Australian players. I've got a Canadian player. I've got all kinds of different players. In our history, we've had guys from all over, you know, multiple different continents. I enjoy that. I think that's one of the rewarding things about coaching in college is bringing guys from different backgrounds, different parts of the world together and getting them to become close and compete. That's a fun thing.
And, Coach, you have a freshman guard, Austin Johnson, up the road from me and then Marietta. What do you see for this young man? Will he be a part of your future going forward?
Yeah, well, he's not a guard. He's a big guy. He's 6'9", about 235 or 40. He's an outstanding athlete. I really feel fortunate that we became connected with Austin and his family, and I think he's a great fit here at UC Irvine. I hope his family will hear your show. He's gotten off to a really good start as a freshman here for us on both ends of the floor, both with his shot blocking and rebounding, and then with his ability to finish plays around the basket and make free throws. His future is really bright. It will not surprise me for him to elevate into an all-conference player at some point during his time here. I just hope that could be quickly.
I hear that guy say, you know, I feel like, Coach, the ball here in Georgia is really high level because the AAU coach, coaches do a great job with the young men, and they're prepared to come contribute as freshmen, Coach, which is very key. And so when you come down here to the South and find a good player like Austin is and can contribute all right away, it has to make you feel happy, and knowing the connections that you have in the city here is really giving you the right information to find a good player that fits into your culture and program.
Yeah, I do feel fortunate that we were able to connect with Austin. You know, he played in a great high school program there, Wheeler, and then went and did a prep year and link year prep. So he's an older freshman, which gives him an advantage. And he's really physically outstanding for a young guy. And I think he's going to continue to get better. He's really bought into me pushing him, and I'm excited for his future.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, I was thinking about Georgia boys as coach. We can take hard coaching. We can take that real good down here, Coach, for sure.
Yeah. His mom and dad assured me that's what he needed. That was a relief.
Yes, indeed. Well, Coach, you asked Scott Brooks Jones retirement when he was in town with the Wizards. So, what has he been here in university, Coach? How much did he come around you guys and kind of pitch in and give you guys some advice and give you his time when he's off-season out with the Wizards there?
I mean, yeah, Coach Brooks, you know, lived the dream that all of my guys have, and that is to emerge as a player at this level and earn an opportunity to play professional basketball and then turn that into something. You know, Scott did the ultimate, really, by playing as well as he did in the minor leagues, earning a shot with the Houston Rockets, making the team, and then being a part of a team there that was talented enough to win a championship. So that's a great success story for all my guys to try to emulate. And Scott and I have known each other since I was coaching in the NBA. He's been incredibly supportive of our program, of our entire athletics department. We have a golf tournament every year where we raise money that he comes back to and sponsors. He's just a difference-making person. So that jersey retirement was meaningful for a lot of people because you wouldn't believe the number of fans here at Irvine who still, you know, talk about seeing Scott Brooks play here in Atlanta, Jersey.
Yes, indeed. Coach Brooks is a great guy. Look forward to seeing him on Friday night. We go to D.C., so I'll definitely tell him I talked about you, him in the interview today with you today. I know he speaks highly of you as well. I've told him I have you on my show every year at least once or twice, so he knows about our relationship. So I'm glad that you got to talk about Coach Brooks. I love him. I love talking to him. He's one of the coaches on the road. I love talking to him on the road with Coach Brooks, so he's a great guy. I know you got lucky to have him as to be an anchor for life for sure.
That's right. We are lucky for that. Yeah. Please tell him I said what's up. I'll probably talk to him before you guys head over there.
Yes, indeed. Coach Turner, man, best luck to you against Hawaii. I was going to catch up with you, man. Happy New Year to you. As always, hope to talk to you again in March when you win that championship, man.
Okay, man. I really appreciate your time, JR, and congratulations to you on all your family success this year. And I look forward to catching up again soon.
All right. Thanks, Coach.
All right, man.
My heart skips skipping the beat. You're not close enough, so that space between you and me, let's lose it. The way you're dancing, swaying to the music. Girl, that body and how you move it. Every time you cross my mind, girl, I lose it.
Alexa, play the Country Heat playlist.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need.
Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Folks, back here to Jared the Boss Man Show here, Greg Lansing of Indiana State Sycamores. They was in town earlier this year to play the Georgia State Panthers, coached by Rob Lanier. Coach Lansing, how things up there in Terry Hall, man?
Everything's going great, man. We call it paradise. Everything's great in paradise.
How's the weather up there, man?
You know, it's been good. Shoot, we've had, upper 50s, 60s. You know, it hasn't. We just got back from a road swing in Iowa. It was kind of warm all over the place. So it hasn't quite been the winter, but I can do without those anyway.
I hear that. Mid-60s here, sunny. The Rockets in town tonight to play the Hawks. So we'll go down there after we get out of the studio here, go see the Harden and Westbrook play the Hawks tonight. So things are pretty good in ATL as well, Coach.
Heck yeah. We'll be down there for the Final Four. I always love coming to Atlanta.
Most definitely got to catch you when you're definitely in town here in April. I can't wait for that. I'll have all you guys in town here. Hope you can come out to the studio and see us here while you're in town for sure.
That'd be great. That'd be a pleasure.
And Coach, it's amazing the business that you're in, Coach. You're in the middle of year 10, leading Indiana State. You've been there, associate head coach, before you got the job. So, Coach, tell us, what's been the key to your longevity when you know the carousel turns so much every year around Final Four time, as we all know?
Yeah, well, just try to surround myself with good people. You know, we recruit high-character kids here, but I wanted to start it with a staff of high character guys that I enjoy being around in this business. You know, it's hard work and loyalty and your quality of life, you know, because it's a grind. It's as everybody says, you know, it's pretty much year round now with what we do through the season with recruiting and whatnot. So I've just been very fortunate, very blessed. There's not that many Division I head coaches jobs out there. I'm just very blessed to have one of them.
And, Coach, while I try to tell my listeners, you have an alignment between the chancellor, president, the AD, and the basketball coach or the football coach, because without that alignment in sync, you can't last as long as you have in this business.
No question. You know, I've been here for a couple of presidents. You know, I was here for 4 years, then I went to University of Iowa as an assistant for seven, then I've come back here. So I've really been fortunate just to be at two places that I have a strong affection for. And you're exactly right. You know, we like to say in the business that, your administration wins championships, because you have to have a support starting from the president. And then, your athletic director. I've been here for three different athletic directors. So just very lucky. You know, a lot of good people. Indiana State is an unbelievable place. Terre Haute's a wonderful community for my wife and I to live in. And, you know, this is a basketball state. So Indiana State in the Missouri Valley, it's a pretty neat deal to be able to be the head coach.
And, Coach, talk about the Valley. It's been one of the toughest mid-major leagues for years. Even, you know, I know he had Wichita State in there for a while. He left, went to the American. But, it's like, the Valley is still tough. It's been tough for years. Talk about how tough it is to coach against those coaches and those teams and those programs. It's been a story for years in that great conference out there you guys have.
Well, yeah, it is. You know, Coach Krzyzewski calls the Missouri Valley the best league in the country where seniors play. You know, we're not getting the one-and-done guys. We're not recruiting those guys. That's for the Power Fives. But like I said, I was in the Big Ten at Iowa for 7 years, and this league takes a backseat to nobody, absolutely nobody. It's underrated in just how well-coached it is. The staffs across the board in this league do an unbelievable job, and they recruit really good guys. And what I love about it is it's a basketball league. You know, we do have football. It's a FCS level with our football, but the basketball, they're all basketball communities. They all draw well. It's just an unbelievable league. And then we go to St. Louis for our conference tournament, which is also as good as any out there.
You got that right. Yeah, I watch it on CBS a lot when they play. They show you all the games of your conference tournament out there. I always see the tough battles you guys have out there on CBS when they show that. Now, Coach, for you guys, at the level you coach at, you have to really be big on player development. So this offseason, what did you guys kind of focus on to get guys better on and off the court, also with nutrition wise and strength wise with the strength coach, because coaching, like you said, it's year round. You got to have guys to be able to be healthy from November through March. Not many sports in the college sports are like that, like basketball is. So, what you guys do to make sure that guys not only be strong to play, but for injuries as well, and eat well, and also get their games good on the court as well for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point, JR. You know, you want to get guys that want to work, guys that want to be better. You know, our program may not be for everybody because we do really bust you. You know, when you're on and off the court, we're doing things right, and we're working. We are going to get people better, and we take great pride in that. You talk about taking care of them as far as feeding them, the way things have changed with training tables and being able to feed your guys and take care of your guys and help them out away from basketball is really good nowadays. You know, it's not like they're making money, but you can take care of them. And then to get them better, you know, we start, I'm a huge NBA fan. You're talking about going to Hawks game tonight, you know, and I got a lot of good friends in the NBA. My staff and I go out and we see what they're doing and we learn from them, and we want to bring it to our program because, you know, you're every guy you recruit is going to want to play in the NBA. So we start at the top and filter it down and get a good staff that's really good teachers, and we spend a ton of time in individual development. You know, we try to tell our guys in recruiting, we guarantee you, you're going to be as good as you can be while you're here, and then it's the coaching staff's job to make us a good team.
You got there right, Coach. You know, so in the Hawks are a very young team right now. So I see you play development daily with Chris Jen out there, and Melvin Hunt, Greg Foster, those guys out there with the young players of the Hawks. We got a lot of young guys. So I've learned over the years, being around the Hawks for the last 7 years, player development is very key to in the NBA as well, even as it is in college for sure.
It really is, you know, and people act like NBA guys don't work and do those things. But, you know, you've seen it enough to where you can get in there and get that one contract, but, you know, you want to be a great player. You want to be special. You have to continue to develop. If you want another contract, you have to be able to develop, because there's a lot of guys out there that be just fine and dandy with taking your jobs.
You got there right now. Coach, for you recruiting-wise, Coach, Indiana's basketball state and the Valley is a great conference. So, on the recruiting trail, I feel like you have a national brand as well, because Indiana State's pretty known. I knew about you guys when I was a kid. That was like in the 90s and 2000s. I'm 32 years old now, so I knew about the school then. So, in the recruiting trails, how's it go for you guys? Maybe been in Indiana. You're not IU in Bloomington, but you still have a nice brand of Indiana State. So I'm pretty sure the recruiting trails will treat you guys very, very well when you're trying to get guys from all over the country.
Yeah, we do. You know, we try to start at home. You know, we try to start from Terre Haute and work our way out. Indiana's a great state to recruit high school basketball players. And I'll tell you this, you know, it's over-recruited because, you know, programs want Indiana kids, so people from everywhere come to Indiana to recruit, so it's very, very competitive, and we start here. We try to get the best kids we can in the state. We're fortunate enough right now to have five Indiana All-Stars on our roster right now, but we've had guys from coast to coast, you know, north, south, east, west. We'll go wherever it is to get great players.
And, Coach, you have a young man from out the road in Marietta on your team, on center. Talk a little bit about him, Coach.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Agbo is from he's from Nigeria. And he came to Atlanta, and he lived in Atlanta for 5 years. He still kind of calls that home. My assistant, Terry Parker, his home is in Atlanta. So we certainly have spent some time down in there in your neck of the woods.
And, Coach, you know, I see a lot of coaches come to town because they always give me a text or say, hey, I'll be in town, are you free? Now, sometimes I am, sometimes I'm not. But a lot of young men here, they can go to colleges and play ball and play the D1 level. So how important is it for coaches like yourself and the Mid-Major Conference to find the young men in Georgia that Georgia State or Georgia or Kennesaw or Mercer may overlook, or Tech as well?
Well, you know, the programs you just named, they make it difficult because those are good places to go. You know, those are good places to go, and we like to sell the Missouri Valley. You know, the Missouri Valley is one of the best leagues in the country, and like I said earlier, it's a basketball league. You know, we draw well. We travel like the Power Fives. We take care of our guys at an unbelievable rate, and our facilities are fantastic. So you know, you can go down there, and if guys want to, don't care if they're closer to home, you can get them from anywhere. And what we try to do is just make it hard for them to say no. If we really want them and we offer them a scholarship, I know everybody talks about having family or being a family. We really take that to another level here.
I hear that now, Coach. And I know you're also happy as well. 7 wins and 9 conference slate, that'll make you really, really happy, knowing that your guys are ready for that Valley, which is going to be real, real tough every night.
Yeah, we're putting $50 million into our facility, so we couldn't get it into the Holman Center until after Thanksgiving, so we had to start out with 7 games on the road. So we had a very difficult schedule. We had started at Dayton, at Louisville, you know, two of the best teams in the country. But we won 8 straight after that, and now we're coming back home to play Illinois State here Saturday. Should be a big weekend.
And, Coach, what do you feel like your team improved on the most in all the different styles you saw with non-conference as you get ready for the conference play? I feel like the toughness you guys played, been on the road all that time on the road you were on, had to make you guys tougher and made your team better overall for sure.
Yeah, I think so, and we're fortunate to have veteran guards. You know, we start a senior and a junior guard that are both in all-conference guard league. We've got some youth with us, too. Really real on leadership and of our veterans and go on the road. They've played in a lot of big games, a lot of tough environments, so they can really show these young guys. I mean, we're starting 2 freshmen, a sophomore, and a junior and a senior, so it's good to have veterans out there helping the younger guys.
The Illinois coach is always tough. Dan Mullen does a good job over there with his team. So what's some of those guys on the films? Are you ready to play those guys here on Saturday?
Oh, they're just really good. I mean, you know, Dan's always done a good job. He's a great player in the Valley on an NCAA tournament team himself there at Indiana State. They play hard. They play fast. They'll be switching defenses. And, you know, it doesn't matter who you're playing in our league. You know, I wish I could say you could look down your schedule and say, oh, we're going to get these guys, or, hey, you know, you're most probably going to win that. You just can't do that in this conference. It's a very, very difficult league to play in, but that's what makes it so great.
And I think Evansville winning that game against Kentucky really helped put the Valley on the map even more, that a team from the Valley was able to go into Rupp Arena and be the number one team in the country.
Yeah, I mean, since I've, you know, that's great, and it happens every year in the Valley. Our teams do well in the tournaments that we play in. We consistently beat Power Fives. I mean, since I've been here, we've won at Indy, at Notre Dame, at Vanderbilt, beaten Ole Miss, we've beaten Miami, and so on and so on. So our teams in the Valley fare pretty well against Power Fives.
That's what I got for you, Coach. This, who have been some coaches and individuals who you really in the business of really takes to get care of you, that you can really call on when you need some, has been there for you all your years from Iowa to Indiana State and now being a head coach there the last 10 years?
Yeah, I've been in it a long time, and, you know, I've been around long enough to where some of those guys have passed away. We've lost them. I think of Coach Waltman, Royce Waltman, who hired me here out of a high school, you know, and he didn't have to do that. But my dad, I'm a high school coach's son. My dad's retired now. You know, he's still the best coach I've ever been around. And you look at a guy like Steve Alford, who I worked for 7 years at Iowa. And there's been so many, you know, I've done it for such a long time. There's a lot of good friends of mine in the profession, you know, and it's maybe it's changed a little bit. Back in the day, you hated everybody and that you played and you didn't have good friends. Well, shoot, I got really good friends that even in our conference that we play a couple times a year. Now we can be friends outside away from the game, but we all want to beat each other's brains out. I guarantee you that. But, just really, really fortunate to have good people around me, and there's a lot of good people in this business. I know there, you know, it gets a bad rap sometimes with some of the stuff that's going on in recruiting, but that's not the type of people I'm dealing with. I'm dealing with the good guys in the profession.
Coach, I know you're probably glad that you got Rob Lanier rather than Ron Hunter's zone. I know you probably saw he's the IUPUI, but I know that Ron Zone's one of the guys playing Georgia State, so I know you probably was like, whoo, I'm going to deal with that today.
He's a crazy man, ain't he? Yeah, he's doing well at Tulane right now.
Yes, indeed. I miss him. I love Ron, but I do miss Ron. I people always tell me all the time, JR, I love Ron, but I don't want to play him. That zone is something else, man.
That's for sure.
Well, Coach, much luck to you, Syracuse, Illinois State. Glad to have you on the show. Look forward to talking to you in the future. Look forward to seeing you at the Final Four here in April. Hope to have you come in the studio with us. Have some fun with us, Coach.
All right. Thanks, Jerry. I look forward to being back on with you, and I appreciate you having me.
It's maybe the night that my dreams might let me know. All the stars are closer. All the stars are closer.
Tell me what you gonna do to me. Confrontation ain't nothing new to me. You could bring a bullet, bring a sword, bring a morgue, but you can't bring the truth to me.
Alexa, play Kendrick Lamar and SZA.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
All right, folks, back in the Boston Man Show. Going off to Rhode Island, talk to Jerry Grass, the Bryant Bulldogs out of the Northeast Conference coach. I think up there in Rhode Island, man. Is the weather treating you guys real good so far?
A little bit of snow today, but weather's been pretty nice thus far. So hopefully keep the snow off the ground and keep plugging along.
I hear that, Coach. So, Coach, I know we talked when you got hired in 2018. So, what has been the biggest improvements in the program since you and I last spoke when you got hired originally?
You know, I think we've been able to build a culture kind of what I envisioned and a style of play. And I've been blessed enough to recruit and inherit some really good young men who have worked really hard both on the floor and the classroom. And I think our culture is trending in the right direction. And that was the biggest piece to me when I took over, building a culture of guys who work really hard and put a lot of time into their studies and into basketball. And I think both those things go hand in hand. And I think the work ethic of this group has been really good. And I think that's why we've seen such a dramatic improvement, both in the classroom and on the court.
And Coach, can I speak to that? I know this is good for you to have a full offseason this last season to kind of in more, further more cement your culture, because getting those guys in the spring and the summer workouts and the development on and off the court, or the strength coach getting stronger, eating better as well, just to prevent injuries that are going to happen, because you know you play from November to March. So how key was crucial this summer was to kind of further more cement that culture that you want to build at Bryant going forward?
Yeah, I think it was huge. You know, we have seven new guys and had one player redshirt last year. So we had eight guys who hadn't played for me before, and I think it was a big off season for us, both the spring, summer, and then the fall, of guys understanding what my expectations were for them and kind of the standards and the culture, that the way I want things to be done. And I think the returners learned last year and were able to kind of grow and evolve last year, having been around me for a year. And then the new guys, you know, having that time over the summer where not just the basketball piece, but getting to know each other, spending time together, building chemistry and kind of understanding the way I do things and the way I run my program. And I think it's been a really good a mix of guys, both the new guys and returners. We've had great veteran leadership, and I think the younger guys that we brought in are great workers, love basketball, are committed, put a ton of time in the gym. And that's been the biggest piece to me. I'll come into the office 6-7 o'clock in the morning, there's guys in there working out. We'll leave the office 10-11 o'clock at night. Guys are still in there working on their game. And, you know, I think when you have a group of guys who work at it that way, they're going to improve. And I think that's why we've seen such improvement in a short amount of time. And I think for this group, our best basketball is ahead of us.
And, Coach, that piece at the level you coach at the mid-major level is very key, is the player development piece. Because I know you know I work with the Hawks. I see them, the young coaches working with the players, trying to get them better at their game. So I think a lot of fans understand the time away from practice, where they're just working on their games to themselves and with coaches as well, is the very key to how successful a team is ultimately in March.
Yeah, no question. That's kind of what we're about, is player development. And I think the kind of thing we hang our hats on, and I've always hung my hat on as a coach, is I'm going to get you better as long as you're willing to work at it. And I tell the guys we recruit, I want guys who want to be pros. You know, at Bryant University, we want guys who want to get a great education. And Bryant, obviously, is a great school academically. And also, we want guys who want to be professional basketball players, because if you want to be a professional basketball player and you tell me that during the recruiting process, I've recruited guys who played in the NBA, made a ton of money playing overseas, G League. So I've been around it, and I know what it takes to get to that level. Some guys talk about it but don't understand the real amount of work you have to put into it, and that's every single day. And I think that's kind of what we pride ourselves on here, is you're going to get better. And we know what it takes to get better, and we know what individual development, and we know how much time you need to put into it on a daily basis. And for those guys who are willing to do it, the sky's the limit. And I think that's what our staff really has kind of hung their hat on since day one, is you decide you want to be a part of this. We have all guys who have played at Division I level, coached at this level, played professionally, coached pros. So we understand the level of work it takes and the things you need to do to get to that point. And for me, I want guys who, we know your best basketball is ahead of you if you're committed to it. And I talk about during the recruiting process all the time, if you give me your word and you tell me you want to be a pro, I'm going to put that work in with you. And our staff is going to put that work in with you. So you need to understand what you're signing up for. And if this is what you want and you're willing to work that hard, we're going to put you in a position where you're going to improve every day, every year. And by the end of 4 years, you're going to have a chance and an opportunity to make money playing this game.
Coach, you got to hit on it, Coach. I think the fans will understand that, you know, at the mid-major level, you have to recruit guys and kind of project guys and see what they're going to be when they grow into their bodies in that junior and senior year. Because you're not getting one and done guys at Bryant. We all know that. But only the fans realize at the level you coach it, you have to project guys and find guys, like you said, fit the culture and want to work. And you see them in that junior and senior year being like world beaters, being fully into their bodies to play well if you give you guys a chance to go deep in March. Because the older you are, the better you are in March most of the time.
No, absolutely. And I think for me, I want guys who have a chip on their shoulder, have something to prove. And I've always said I'm not caught up in what other schools are recruiting guys. And I don't ask guys that during the recruiting process. It doesn't matter to me. I trust my own eyes. I know the kind of guys that fit me and fit my program and my style of play. And the biggest thing for me is I want guys who are hungry, who have something to prove, have a chip on their shoulder, and have a great work ethic. And I think if you have those things, then you're going to continue to get better. And again, it's an everyday thing. It's hard sometimes for young guys to understand. It all sounds good. Kids talk about, yeah, I want to play professional basketball. And it sounds good in the moment, but are you willing to work that hard when you're tired, when you're sore, you just had a game the night before, you're a little banged up? Are you still willing to get in the gym and get 500 extra shots up after practice? Are you still willing to get in the weight room and get an extra lift in? And those are the things that we want to guys who are willing to do those things. And most guys, again, it sounds good in the moment. Are you willing to do it when it's hard? Are you willing to do it over the summer when it's 95 degrees out and your friends are going to the beach, your friends are sitting playing video games? Are you willing to get back in the gym and get a second or third workout in? And the guys who are willing to do that are the guys who continue to improve. And those guys will continue to pass other guys by. So for me, it's more about that and having that edge to you that you're willing to put the time in through whatever the circumstances are to continue to get better. And those guys will continue to pass guys by.
You got there, right, and Coach, I know you're really happy about this. In non-conference play, 8-5. I know you got to play some guaranteed games and go on the road a lot. To be 8-5, it's non-conference, got to make you very, very happy.
Yeah, and I think my group, we're still getting to know each other. Again, 7 new guys. We had a player redshirt last year. We had some injuries and played different lineups. And this group is continuing to evolve. And we're still learning about ourselves. And a couple of guys who were out just came back. We are yet to have a practice this year where we've had our full roster healthy. And we found ways to win different kind of games. You know, we lost at the buzzer, had a shot to beat Rutgers at the buzzer, missed a three to win it. Even our losses, 2 games we had shots to win at the buzzer, a shot to win it in regulation, ended up losing in overtime. So I think at this point in the year, our team has seen every situation you can be in. We've been in very close games, and we've run games on the road. I think we're one of only 7 programs to win 4 real road games in our league. So I think it's a testament to the direction our program is moving in, and I'm proud of my guys and the effort they've given in the non-league. And again, for us, it's about getting better every day. Second to mean win-loss-wise, I can't answer that. I do know for us, we talk about wanting to continue to get better every single day, hopefully play our best basketball going into February and March. And we're a very young group with a lot of new guys, so I think we have the ability to keep getting better. And I think for us, it's just about we just get caught up in the day, and we want to make that a great day and improve every day. And that's what we talk about as a team. It's what our players talk about. And so for us right now, we want to have a great practice tomorrow, we want to have a great practice on Friday, and then be prepared to go play Saturday night.
And what's good about the coach is having a young team is and having these young guys, they're going through these wars as young guys already. So, and when they get older and upperclassmen, they know how to deal with these situations, and they can make that shot on the road at Rutgers or get through a tough call here or there on the road. And so, we've been here before. This is nothing. Let's do this. We'll be okay. So, I think it's good that they have those adversity now so they can overcome it later down the road for you guys.
Yeah, no question. I mean, we have four freshmen who are playing, you know, major minutes for us, and it's great for those guys to kind of get thrown to the fire a little bit. Like you said, being in different situations and playing road games at Maryland, it's a two-point game, 10 minutes left. To be in those adverse environments where you have to play through officiating and crowds and all those different things are great for young guys, because by the time they become, I don't consider those guys freshmen anymore. You know, they've played in so many games and so many different environments that they're, to me, like upperclassmen now because they've played a lot of minutes. And, again, throwing those guys into those situations, by the time they're sophomores and juniors and seniors, there'll be nothing they haven't seen. You know, Adam Grant and Ikenna Nduduba, but now my guys who are my upperclassmen, they've played so many college basketball games that they're never going to see something they haven't seen before now. And that's a great thing about freshmen playing a lot of minutes early in their career is, again, by the time they become upperclassmen, they've been in every situation you can be in. And those guys now have been played half a college basketball season already. I don't consider them freshmen anymore. And in reality, and I talk about this a lot in this day and age, freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, I don't know how much it matters. These guys play so many games, so many AAU games against some of the best players in the country that you're a player. Lights go on. You've competed in the highest level of AAU, and these guys played in great high school leagues. That it doesn't matter. Players are players. When the lights go on, you throw that ball up. Hooper's hoop. And that, to me, that's what it's about.
You got there, right, Coach. You got there. I'm saying with you. I'm like, you're right about that. Because, like you said, the way it's structured now, it's year-round. There's no offs season for these guys. They're playing ball all year long against different levels of competition, different tournaments, different things. So, like you said, by the time they get to you guys, they should be semi-season already, you know? So, I'm definitely with you on that one, Coach.
Yep.
Now, Coach, you got Mount St. Mary's coming up here on Saturday night, man. What are some of those guys on film as you get ready for them?
You know, they're a very, very well-coached team, really good guard play, share the ball. They have guys who can make shots, make plays off the dribble, you know, good defensive group, holding teams under 70 points a game. And in our league, there's so much parity. I think there's really good coaches, and every game is a battle. And I think I learned it last year. I played in the NEC when I played at Quinnipiac. Quinnipiac was in the NEC. I coached at Quinnipiac in the NEC, and now being a head coach in the league, you know, every night, every game is going to be a battle. Doesn't matter if you're home. Doesn't matter if you're on the road. We know each other so well. Each team knows each other's tendencies via scouting. And now that you're 16 games into the season. So for us, it's really more about us than it is about our opponents. I talk about our group. We have to be ready to play every night. And if we're the best version of ourselves, we're always going to put ourselves in position, have a chance to win. And right now for us, we just have to keep getting better every day and keep trying to become the best version of ourselves, and the more we can do that, the more success we'll have.
Well, Coach Grasso, best luck to you, man. Good to catch up with you again. Hope to see the Final Four this year, man.
I appreciate you, JR.
Anytime, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Till the tears run down from my eyes, Lord, somebody, ooh, somebody, can anybody find me somebody to love?
Alexa, play hits from Queen.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Folks, back on the Boss Man Show, we hear David McLaughlin, the coach of the Dartmouth Big Green up there, out there in the Ivy League. Coach, how are things up there with you guys? I know it's snowing up there, man. I'm glad you made it in safely.
Yeah, I was just on a recruiting trip this afternoon, and I had to go through a little bit of a mountain range to get there, and you got to learn how to drive in the snow for sure. I had two of my staff members with me who don't have a lot of experience driving, and you know, I think they were kind of white knuckled in there going to the game for sure.
Got that right. Now, Coach, we talked to you when you first got the job here at Dartmouth. So what do you say has been the biggest improvement in the program over the last 3 to 4 years as you've been up there leading the Big Green?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the biggest thing is just the belief that our guys have that they can play with anyone. They've shown that on any night. Belief that how much work it takes to build a program and become a good program. And you know, I think the other thing is just how good this league is and the number of great teams and how competitive it is. And to compete in a league like this, you have to be ready every day, and you got to practice like that. So I think we've really formed great practice habits.
Yes, indeed. Now, Coach, sweat development is real big at the Ivy League level. So what did you got to do this in the fall, in the spring, in the summer about getting the guys developed properly, where it'd be eating right with the strength and conditioning coach, getting in shape as well, to prevent injuries as well, but also on court to get those guys better and believing in your system and themselves to be better this year for you?
Yeah, our league is so unique in so many ways. It's so different than a lot of Division I leagues. And one of the things we can't do is we can't train our guys in the summer. We don't have access to them. Yeah, so that's an Ivy League rule. So what you have to do is you have to find very motivated young men that really fall in love with their craft, that want to get better, because when you send them home for the summer, they're home. They're doing internships. They're, you know, whatever they might be doing, and they're not typically on campus working out. So we got to get really motivated guys. The other part of here is that we don't start classes until mid-September because we're on a quarter system. So this year, I believe we started classes September 15th, and then the first day of practice was 7 or 8 days later. So there is really no preseason. You're kind of getting right into it. So it's really important that when those guys are away from here, they're very motivated and very ready to go when they come back.
I noticed even on the schedule, like, you have a break between, you know, to the 18th there before you guys play that game, which is very rare in January. So I'm assuming because you're on quarters, they're out for the quarter break that they can't play pretty much, right?
It's a lot to do with the Ivy League schedule. It's based on final exam schedules for all teams. If you look across the league, Princeton and Penn will be playing, but then Princeton goes into exam schedules, and you'll see a lot of teams in our league will have that, you know, anywhere between a 7 to 13 day window right now.
And like I said, I have motivated kids. I think they're going home for summertime, and you already know what they're doing. So, like you said, can you guys check in with them and see what they're doing? Is that legal as well, guys? Or you can send them like at home practice plan, maybe to help them do it while you're away from you guys, right?
Exactly. I think what you do is you spend the spring. The fortunate because we start school late, we also go late in the spring. So we're in classes, deep into May. So that helps. And then what you do is you just try and form great habits and teach them routines that they're going to use. Like, this is where you want to get better as a player. This is how you have to work in your game. Where are you going to be playing? How can we help you with that? And I think so much now, especially at the college level, it's just the relationship piece with guys. And if we have great relationships with them and they can trust us and we really work on that as an entire staff, then that trust piece is going to carry over to the summer. So when we say to them, hey, this has to be a great summer, you have to outwork people, and that they're going to trust us. And it goes back to that very old Jerry West quote, players are made in the summer. And, you know, and we tell our guys that, you know, players are made in the summer, and go and get your game different. You know, fall in love with your craft, figure out what you have to do to get to that next level and do it.
Because, Coach, it's very unique that you have at least set up you have, because I'm thinking about it in my head now. Like, I know most of your programs are pretty much year-round, where the guys are there pretty much all year-round. Your guys get to enjoy a summer, which is very rare. I know when I played football, I didn't have a summer, at least for one semester, one session, I didn't have a summer. So I remember those days when I was playing football. So this here, this is very refreshing to actually have a summer and get away from school, per se. Still get in there and work, and trust them to get in there and work. And like you said, relationship piece is so key to trust them and trust you. So, like you said, I think the Ivy League is very unique in that regard. That's why I love watching you guys play, because, like, you play back-to-backs too, which reminds me of the NBA with the Hawks here. The back-to-backs you guys play in conference play, which I like, because I don't like some trips, Coach. Like, where we could go from Boston to Orlando, 3 hours flight, it's not a good thing for us. But beyond those kind of bad trips, I love back-to-backs, though.
Yeah, it's a really unique way to – And I don't think there's any right way to do it or any wrong way. You know, this when you prep, we even met with our staff today. How do we want to set up as we head to our first Friday, Saturday week? You know, do we, as teams, do you want to take advantage of Sunday and kind of review the weekend heading into the next week? What days do you want to go off? How hard do you want to go? Because you have to have, picture a guy that averages
25 minutes a game. That's 25 minutes a game, but you need to get that young man ready mentally and physically to play 50 minutes within a, you know, 26-hour span, which is very unique. So it's how to get your team ready to play back-to-back, to prepare for multiple games, and then how to get individuals mentally and physically ready as well.
Yes, indeed. That mental piece is very, very key to it. And that coach, I'd be happy that, hey, you got 7 wins in non-conference, you know. That's a great accomplishment right there as you prepare for the Ivy League Gauntlet, which is very tough, of course, those back-to-back. So how did it make you feel knowing you guys got 7 wins for you and kind of speak to the progress and development you guys have made since you've been there?
You know, it's not just the 7 wins. I think it's the ability that we were in almost every game we played in terms of, you know, right down to the wire. I think we pretty much could beat everyone. Really had a chance to beat everyone that's on our schedule. And I think when you can build a schedule like that and you're playing games that are, you know, predominantly on the road or neutral, that you're going to learn a lot about your team and you're going to get tough and you're going to, you know, learn how to play together. And I think that's what we did. I think we were able to do that. And now it changes gears. And we tell you guys, yeah, we did some good things in the non-league and it was great. We learned a lot about ourselves. But now when you get to league play, the scouting is going to be that much better. He's going to know you that much more. The tendencies are going to be exposed a little bit more. And, you know, we have to really up our game and up our preparation level and make sure we're coming every day, practice, ready to go. One thing I shared with him yesterday is, hey, if we were to grade you in practice, you know, we need to, everyone here, if you get 0 to 10, and we were to grade you not on how many shots you're making or how well you're playing, but how invested are you in winning the day? You know, is every possession important? Does every rep matter? Are you playing to win? And, you know, let's look at each other. How many of you guys would give yourselves 7s or 8s? You know, because that's what you need across the board to have great practices. And I think that was good for them to hear. And I think that's going to kind of be our mantra moving forward is, you know, let's just really win the day in practice. And that'll prep us for that league play.
And, Coach, I can kind of talk about when I played football. Like, we played league play, we had to execute even harder. You know, have a wrinkle or two here. I already know it's from sales every year, but we have to prepare even harder, you know, have a wrinkle here or there, and pretty focus on us, because if we be the best version of us, we can most likely win the day if we play the right way. And I think when somebody knows you, it's kind of like, make sure you take care of what you do the most. That's what they're going to do. Make sure you execute what you do best and hoping that on that day, shots are going in and things go break your way that day.
I totally agree. And that's why it's so easy for anybody to look down their schedule, right? To say, okay, we're playing this team in 7 days and this team in 14 days and this team's great, this team's doing this. But it's just how effective was that day? And we have to do it. If you can add winning days together, then that's how you build the program. You got to add multiple winning days together, consecutive winning days together, 9 out of 10, 18 out of 20, whatever it is. And that's how you get better. And it's not so much result-oriented, it's process-oriented.
And you kind of referenced it, Coach, kind of read my next point I had on my list here about how fat you all was in pretty much every game. You could have won every game you played. They played to here or there, you could have won. So that has to give you guys a big boost of confidence just right now, knowing that, hey, if we just do the right things and play the right way, we have a chance every night to win a game. You know, that's a good feeling to have as a team going into the league play right there.
It's a great set of data to have, but it's also, and I share with the guys, you know, we're also not that far from losing some of those games that we won. So we made some great decisions, and so it comes down to, everyone's like, oh, it came down to the last possession, but it doesn't. It comes down to, you know, numerous possessions in a game, and I think that's the lesson I want these guys to understand is, okay, you know, it's winning or losing, it's a possession game. So every possession matters, the details matter, us being as disciplined as possible matters, and I think that's on your point, you know, that's what the offseason taught us, is, you know, how important, you know, every possession is.
And, Coach, it's kind of funny you mentioned it. I was talking about that. I spoke with the Kennesaw State team the other day, and I told them, guys, based on your league's rules, everything counts, because in the A-Sun, you know, is on campus for the tournaments. So every position you have could cost you a seed in the tournament, could cost you a home game in the tournament, could make you go play somebody you want to play. So everything counts. I know it's trite and cliched, but I told those guys, like, based on your league's rules, truly able to have some counts to come see that in March to get into the NCAA tournament in A's Run. So I was just trying to tell those guys in the comments what you said here, win the day, the process, because I think these guys at their ages don't understand that the process drives what happens to win those games. You got to put in that work away from the game court to be successful on the game court.
I think it's a great way to put it, and that's why I go back to it. That's why we always say, you know, win the day. And sometimes you don't even have practice, but how do you win the day when you don't have practice? Did you take care of your academics? Did you recover well? Did you go see the trainer? Did you get an extra lift in that week? Did you go down and shoot some foul shots? And that's winning the day. It doesn't always have to be the scoreboard. It's okay, did you get better? Did you get our program better? Did we collectively, the staff, support staff, players, did we collectively win the day and get the program to the next step that we needed to on that particular day?
And Coach, you have a young man from down our way in Stone Mountain. Can you talk about him a little bit? Coach, he's a freshman forward for you. Can you talk about what Nate's bringing to your program right now?
Yeah, Nate he's going to be a terrific player. He absolutely terrific athlete, good feel, great size. He's played in most of our games, limited minutes, but he's making the most of his opportunities. You know, he's someone that has to take advantage of his practice reps because he's playing a little bit behind Chris Knight right now. He's one of the top forwards in the league. So he has to learn to take advantage of his practice reps and then make the most of game reps when he has them. And even down, we played Georgia State. He was in for a couple possessions in the first half, had a rebound, an assist, and a made basket, I think, in three possessions. So when you get in those type of opportunities, he's taking advantage of it. But we couldn't be happier with him and just the way he's progressed. And go back to the back-to-back games, guys like him are the guys who are going to have to show up on a Saturday on the back-to-back games and be ready to seize their opportunity.
Coach, I know he's glad you played Georgia State. You can do it in 100 zone, because I know that zone can cause some trouble for people. So I'm probably glad that you had Rob Lanier rather than dealing with Ron's matchup zone there.
That's great. That's good. No, I'd never deal with that, but it was a great environment, a great competitive game.
Now, Coach, how important is it for you guys to recruit the Metro Atlanta area to find young men? I know a lot of coaches come here trying to find players, diamond in the rough players who may fit their programming and can develop players. How important is it to come down here to Georgia and Atlanta area and find key talent like Nate to come up there and be a part of your culture program?
Yeah, I think one, there's a ton of talent down there, and the coaching is terrific. The competition is really high. The history of basketball is excellent. So you know there's going to be a talent pool. And secondly, we have a product here that can sell nationally. So we're offering you you can play Division I basketball, you can play at a really high level, a league that's a top 10 to 12 league in the country, and you can get a world-class education. So for us, it's finding those pockets where we have this terrific, terrific institution and experience to sell, and finding the pockets with young men that have the talent on the court and the academic resume to get it done here, and Nate was a great example of that.
Coach McLaughlin, thank you so much for your time, and I good to catch up with you. Hope to see you at the Final Four for sure in April when you guys all you guys converge down here, man, for that big event. Hope to see you there. Here comes the studio with us and have some fun with us, Coach, and you can talk some Big Green basketball again.
Thank you. Yeah, Atlanta's a great city for the Final Four, so we're looking forward to it.
Hey, Coach, Dave, be safe up there, man. Close to him. Be safe, man, for sure.
All right, thanks. Take care. All right,
thanks now.
Hello, my name is Travis Williams, President and CEO of Academics and Athletic Consulting, focusing on educating and empowering tomorrow's collegiate athletic leaders. My passion is for the education and genuine concern and care for today's student athlete. It's the centerpiece of my life's work. A college education, both in and out of the classroom, is a truly rewarding benefit. For more information on AAC, you can go to www.academicsandathleticsconsulting.com. Once again, www.academicsandathleticsconsulting.com. Or you can follow me on Facebook at Academics and Athletic Consulting, or Twitter at Coach TWheel24, or Instagram Travis L. Williams 24. Or you can call me at 404-542-6079. Once again, AAC is very proud to partner with J.R. McHenry of the Boss Man Radio Show, covering sports and entertainment across the country. Please tune in weekly for informative, entertaining, and expert analysis on today's sports and entertainment topics. Thank you.